Now, you've heard me explain, my dear friends, how the law incites sin. It arouses it. And I've given you the spiritual psychological explanation of that. But you may say, well, that's what Collins says, and that's his view. Well, let me tell you that I didn't get that idea. Paul gave me that idea, and he says it more starkly than I could ever say it. So let's look into that. Colin Cook here, and How It Happens, a broadcast on the gospel, the good news, the fact that the Lord God has broken into this world and proclaimed hope and salvation and redemption and rescue to us. More than proclaimed it, he has rescued the human race. The only reason people will be lost is that they won't believe it. Ah, dear friend, what a gospel we have. Now, this message of the gospel can be trained in our mind by faith so that we learn to intercept the struggles we have by faith, intercept them by faith so that they don't have the control over us that they used to. Struggles with addiction or obsessive thoughts or just problems of life. All right. Now, as you know, I said that Paul says that the law incites passions. This is, one would say, unique to Paul. But in fact, it is not really originating from him. It is the Holy Spirit giving us a clear view of why Jesus had to die, and why he rose from the dead to create a new humanity, and what the purpose of the law was in the first place. There are, you see, simply millions, I dare say billions of Christians who are seeking to become holy by following the law. And if they try to do that, they will just fall down a cliff, off a cliff, because the law was not meant to create holiness. The purpose of the law, according to Romans 3, verse 21, is to make us conscious of sin. Rather, verse 20, therefore by the deeds of the law no flesh will be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Now, most people perhaps know a bit about that, but they don't know that Paul also teaches from the Holy Spirit that the law incites, that is, stimulates and arouses sin. And that's verse 5, for when we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit for death. And I tried to explain that yesterday to you as to how it did that. But you might not trust my explanation very much, so let's look at Paul's. Verse 7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? Now that's a good question, isn't it, right off? Because if we're saying that law and sin are in cahoots, and they create passion and lust and evil in us, then one might be inclined to think that the law is sin. Well, no, Paul says. Certainly not. God forbid. On the contrary, I would not have known sin except through the law, for I would not have known covetousness unless the law had said, you shall not covet. So here, Paul is talking about the aspect of the law, which makes our consciences keen and sharp to understand what is right and wrong. But now look at the next bit, verse 8. Now listen to this carefully and, well, I was going to say something I'll tell you in a minute. But sin, taking opportunity by the commandment, produced in me all manner of evil desire. Let's read that again. But sin, taking opportunity by the commandment, produced in me all manner of evil desire. Now let's think this through carefully. Sin is not a person, is it? But Paul talks about sin taking opportunity as if it were a person. That's what we call in English grammar or in the use of English language as personification. Paul is personifying sin as if it had a consciousness and could take opportunity of something. Well, if Paul is personifying sin, who is really behind the sin that is being personified here? Well, of course, Satan, yes. So, but sin, When we say sin, we're really talking about the devil behind sin, the devil taking opportunity. The devil takes an opportunity. Satan takes an opportunity. Sin takes an opportunity. Of what? Of the commandment? How in the world would that work? Well, here we have Satan, you see, tempting us, right? The devil tempting us to do some wrong, to take advantage of people, to abuse our personhood or our whole purpose in life. So we're tempted with a sin. Drugs, alcohol, food issues, sex issues, whatever they may be. So Satan leads us to the temptation. But he takes opportunity by the commandment. That is to say, Satan doesn't simply tempt, but he tempts more effectively by making use of or taking opportunity of the commandment. Well, how does that work? Well, the commandment says, thou shalt not, right? Let's suppose thou shalt not covet. So we're lusting after something that we may not have. So Satan is on the left side of the stage, as it were, tempting us to sin, tempting us to do evil. And when we've got sufficiently aroused, he knows that he hasn't taken us quite over the edge yet and caused us to lose control, and he will not be able to do that until he introduces the commandment. So he shifts from the left side of the stage, where he's the devil, to the right side of the stage, as it were, where he now impersonates who? Come on, who? Who would he impersonate? The Holy Spirit. Well, what do you mean? How do you know that? Where does it say that there? Well, he takes opportunity of the commandment. And the commandment is, thou shalt not do this. Well, who do we think tells us not to do a thing but the Holy Spirit, right? Now, you know it's wrong to do this, Colin, and if you do this, the Lord will be wrathful, and if you do this, you will be sinning, and you may lose your grace, or you may be cast into hell, or some such thing. When we hear conscience pounding away at us, we think it is the Holy Spirit. But how about the possibility that it might be the devil? Now, I know you think I just committed blasphemy. And I know that you think that I might be along with the Pharisees who are saying that Jesus cast out demons by the power of a demon. But I am telling you what this verse clearly says, and you can read it for yourself. And if you don't like the conclusion I have just come to, then try one yourself. How does Satan take opportunity of the commandment? And look what happens, finally, when he does take opportunity of the commandment. But sin, verse 8 now of chapter 7 of Romans, but sin, taking opportunity by the commandment, produced in me all manner of evil desire. How did sin produce in me all manner of evil desire? By pulling in or taking opportunity of the law, and pounding that into my head so that the guilt and the shame and the fear of that law became so terrifying that I lost control, that my mind got all panicky, or that I got terribly depressed and went into sin just to relieve the pain of my mind. Isn't it clear? And so I say to you, my friend, that if you do not clearly define where the law has jurisdiction and where it does not, you will be continually overcome by the struggles of your life. You see, when Satan does take opportunity of the commandment, he's saying, well, remember what he's already said. Come on, Colin, do this sin. It might be enjoyable. And, you know, you need some relief and all the rest of it. And then once the arousal has started in me, then he goes on to the other side and says, but, you know, you ought not to do this, because if you do, God will be wrathful and you will be condemned. And this will, you could lose your salvation, something of that sort. So he gives me these messages by taking opportunity of the commandment. Now, if I respond to this kind of stimuli, then I will seek to obey the commandment, won't I? I will get afraid, I will get panicky, and before I fall, I will try hard to obey the commandment. But that's where I make the mistake. Because Paul is telling me, is he not, that I am dead to the commandment, dead to the law. So I must not let Satan use the law in the way that he wants to use it. The law itself, Paul says, is good. There is nothing wrong with the law. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid, he says in verse 7. But the moment I make misuse of the law by responding to Satan, to Satan's appeal to the law, and seek to obey it and harmonize it with it, then I have misused the purpose of the law, and I will only become more conscious of sin than ever, because Romans 3:19 says, 3:20 says, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. You say, well, what's the alternative then? Well, duh, hello, Jesus. Jesus is the alternative, in whom there is no condemnation, who is full of mercy and love, who is all grace. He's not soft, but he is strong with love and passion and mercy. And you come to him, my friend, and you say, dear Jesus, I'm tempted not only by sin, but by the law. Ah, thank you that in you is my comfort and my embrace, and you will find sin less potent. We always need new partners, my friend, because some of the partners let go after a while, after a year or two or three, a few months, they move on to other ministries or their finances change. So we need people to fill in the gap. I do want to thank you who have been partners for so many years of this broadcast. Thank you so much for staying by faithfully and keeping the broadcast going in the ministry of Faith Quest altogether. Your faithfulness is very reliable, and I thank you for the effort that you put into it. Now, if there are others who would like to join this happy band of financial partners of this broadcast, how do you set about it? Well, you simply look at your budget, you determine what you can afford per month, and you send your first check. You send it to Faith Quest, P.O. Box 366, Littleton, Colorado 80160. That's Faith Quest, P.O. Box 366, Littleton, Colorado 80160. And I send you my Cook's monthly message, a CD on the gospel. At present, we're working through one or two or a few of the parables. And that's my expression of thanks to you, as well as being a lively and useful support in your life throughout the month to train your faith and focus you on the good news. Now, if you'd like to take care of your donation by PayPal, you can do so by going to the website faithquestradio.com. Click on the link, Donations, and then you'll see the icon for PayPal there. So thank you very much, my friend, for your support. And I'll see you next time. Cheerio, and God bless.